The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Speaking of deadlines, just wanted to make sure you knew that if you wanted to get an argument about any of the ballot measures into either the Jackson or the Josephine County voters pamphlet, Monday's the deadline. And I've been working my little tail off because I'm putting arguments both in the Jackson County voter pamphlet and the Josephine County voter pamphlet. And I'm going to be working on that over the next day or two to vote no on all of these charter changes. These charter changes are some of the most insidious divide and conquer schemes. And I'm going to mention this in my comment. By the way, I'll be talking more about this a little later in the hour with Bill Hunker and Jim Rafferty about this, because they want to talk about the Joe County one specifically. But they're going about it in a more incremental fashion in Jackson County with three separate charter changes. You know, one to try to lower the pay, and then to go to five county commissioners. And also to go nonpartisan. It's all about a takedown. Now, the part which they did not do is what is happening in Josephine County, in which they're going to districts. They want to go to districts. And that's what 17-116 of everything that the Democrats, and remember, the Democrats are the ones pushing this, folks. They could talk about Jackson County for all, and we're citizens for a responsible government, whatever it is in Joe County. It's all throwing political sand in the air about this to fool you, to say, well, I'd like to pay less for a commissioner. And so we'll have districts. So I would then be in a district, you know. Let me just cut to the chase here when it comes to districts. This is the divide and conquer scheme. The Democrats in Josephine County are doing this first because they're going for the whole ball of wax. They're doing everything in Josephine County, one fell swoop, this attack on county government. You go into districts, and then you'll be at that point where there's a problem. You have something of county concern, and you have one county commissioner that may or may not give a rip about your concern. And if they don't give a rip about your concern, the other ones will say, well, you're not my voter. You're not in my district. It's kind of like the Bolstein that's playing out in the Klamath Dam removal right now in Siskiyou County, because they have five county commissioners, their board of supervisors, same thing. And what they do is they do it by districts. So Jim Ray Haupt, I think, is his name there. He's concerned about the dam removal and all the destruction. And the other four are kind of like, well, you're not really in my district, so have a nice day. That's what the Democrats are pushing. It's the Democrat charter repeal and replace. They're trying to hide that. They're already hiding the agendas with nonpartisan in Joe County. I think that was really dumb to have gone that way a number of years ago and whatever change that was. But set that aside. They're going for the whole Democrat Party ball of wax in Josephine County, 17-116. Now, they're doing much the same thing in Jackson County with Denise Krause's Democrat Party, Jackson County for All Democrats, is really what that thing is. The one thing they aren't doing, though, is the district. But they do want to go nonpartisan, so that way they can hide agendas. They want to try to reduce the pay, which I'm not even sure they can legally do because of state law. But, you know, hey, they're talking about it. But the big one is five county commissioners. They're on the record. We had Dave Gilmore, that meeting the other week, said, oh, yeah, this is just incremental because we get the five. You know, essentially, he said the five commissioners, we get the five commissioners and then we go for districts. But they're not being honest about that. They're not telling you that. The five commissioners is an incremental means to the Democratic Party end. It's about electing more Democrats, and it's about turning us, dividing and conquering us, in which we have districts fighting, and you no longer have county commissioners. Well, you'll have a district commissioner who may or may not give a rip about your particular concern. rather than having three county commissioners, both in Jackson and Josephine County, who care about the entire county, not just their district. So we'll be talking more about that over time. All right? Gosh, I just want to spit about the skullduggery behind here and all the, this is about democracy and enough. Bullshit. It's an attack on our counties, It's about electing more Democrats and about dividing and conquering us. That's all this is. Go to line one. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Who's this?
This is Vicky. Good morning, Bill.
Hi, Vicky. What's on your mind?
Well, I think a lot of people need to rewatch Hunger Games because that's pretty much what it's coming down to. You just said divide and conquer. Well, in the movie, none of these people that are in District 3 know District, any of the people in District 7. There's a reason for that. If you keep them separated, then they can't come together like they would if they were in a county, which has way more people in it. I with the food thing and the control over, you know, the prices and the gas and the everything, housing, where they want to put you, these 15-minute cities.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. Everything about getting you into little shoots, right? So you'll be in a district, and then you'll have your 15-minute city, your little Soviet neighborhood there, also planned by the Democrat Party types because they're thinking it's going to save the planet, along with the SOCAN drone. So right there. And the thing is, Vicky, tell your friends about this. Explain why this is such an evil plan about a divide and conquer under the guise of, oh, we're going to give you so much more democracy. Instead of voting for three, you'll get to vote for one in your district and then one at large. You know, that kind of thing. And that's better.
If I remember right, we live in a state, not a district. We should be able to vote on state issues, not district issues. We live in counties.
I want to vote for a county commissioner, not a district commissioner in the county.
Exactly.
All right. Tell everybody, and you got to vote. You got to fill the little circle in, because just being irritated at the at these jackwagons and their proposals is not going to defeat it. You have to vote it down. Let me go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD.
Good morning, Holly Morton, Josephine County.
Holly, hello. What's up?
Southern Oregon is under siege. The conservatives are under siege. You know, they take our taxes away. They send them up to Salem. Salem then does them back to these NGOs. The NGOs go out and they you know, take care of the people in the parks and invite more people in, pay for tents, pay for propane tanks, all of this kind of thing that ultimately we all pay for.
And that's why you have to rebel the attacks as you can. And 17-116 is an attack. The three charter change measures in Jackson County, these are attacks on the system to enable
all
more
attacks.
Of what you see.
All attacks.
That's all it is.
And also the NGOs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, Sarah Bristol, you were speaking about that earlier. She's on the board of UCAN. And UCAN provides a lot of the services to people down here. And ultimately, the goal is just bankrupting Southern Oregon.
So what it sounds like to me, though, is that Sarah Bristol has a big heart and a little teeny brain on such matters. That's what it sounds like.
Well, I do that. I mean, I actually, here's the conspiracy.
I shouldn't say that. I mean, I don't mean to say dumb, but it's like this is the liberal intelligentsia way of looking at the world. Everything is from a compassionate viewpoint, and it's compassionate to a fault, I think, is what's going on.
What I think in her case, and this is just supposition on my part, she's getting involved with all the NGOs because that's where all the big money jobs are now. A lot of people who really couldn't get arrested in their own career are now getting involved in the NGOs and paying themselves the big salaries.
And the Democrat Party then takes the money and then funnels it into their friends, wash, rinse, repeat, right?
Well, pretty much. I mean, a lot of people that really are not that swift are running NGOs, and they make, you know, $100,000 and $150,000. All they have to do is apply for a grant, and then when they receive the grant, they're such tremendously important and brilliant people that they, you know, they need these huge salaries. And I think that's what a lot of these people are doing.
All right. Hey, appreciate the update on that, Holly. Okay. I got to roll. I got Ilya. I got to talk with Ilya here in just a minute. But Jim Hunker, I'm sorry, Bill Hunker and Jim Rafferty be coming on a little bit later talking about some other issues there. Okay? All right?
Sure. Bye.
Thank you, Holly. Holly Morton is a Josephine County Republican Party chair. 10 minutes after 7.
We made it to March, so we get to trade in winter rain for spring rain. That's where Terra Firma Foundation Systems comes in. One easy call can protect your home from the damage rain and saturated soils can do to your foundation, basement, or crawl space. Don't sit up all night with a shop vac. Don't convince yourself it'll be fine when it dries out. Have Terra Firma come out for a free waterproofing evaluation. Visit GoTerraFirma.com to schedule your free waterproofing evaluation. That's GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173-5.
At Batteries Plus, we want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV or a motorcycle or a golf cart or a boat? Whatever moves you drives us. Batteries Plus, bringing power to your life. Stop in or shop online at batteriesplus.com.
Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com to schedule your free consultation.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
One of each, Forte VIN 731586, MSRP 21710, 3500 due, Sportage VIN 185367, MSRP 3590, 4499 due, 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's Payment Wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS Automatic, just $149 a month lease, or a new 2024 Kia Sportage LX, only $199 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia, like Forte's, $149 a month. Sportage's, $199 a month during the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
KCMD and KMED Weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit MyAdvancedAir.com.
I'm meteorologist Bobby J for NBC5. Cool start for this Thursday morning. Mostly sunny for this afternoon. And a lot like yesterday. High of 67. We'll drop to 44 tonight. Cooling to 60 with showers becoming likely through Friday and a breezy wind. More showers through this weekend with highs in the 50s.
The Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
Ilya Shapiro is Director of Constitutional Studies and Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and he, alongside Manhattan Institute legal fellow Tim Rosenberger, filed an amicus brief in the Supreme Court case Murphy v. Missouri, and that was heard. There were oral arguments a little bit earlier on this week, and you actually watched the whole proceedings, didn't you, Ilya? Welcome back.
Good to be back. I didn't watch. I listened. It's a great post-COVID innovation that they now live stream the audio of the hearing, so anybody in their pajamas can listen to whatever case they like.
Oh, okay. Why don't they do cameras? Is that just a rule, or is there a law against that? Just curious.
Well, the justices collectively decide. I think it's wise. C-SPAN recently celebrated, 45 years of broadcasting Congress, and I don't think the quality of debate has been improved by having cameras on it.
Oh, okay. And translation, a little bit of showboating for the cameras sometime, huh?
Pretty much. And in the context of the Supreme Court, I think you could see news agencies taking questioning out of context. And, there's a reason that this is a cross-ideological agreement that this is not a good move.
All right. Murphy v. Missouri. And the bottom line of this one, Ilya, unless you've been under a rock, I guess, is that the government's been accused of essentially talking to social media and saying, you're putting out stuff that people that are using your social media are putting out stuff that we disagree with, and it's a nice social media company you have here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. Isn't that, in essence, what's been going on?
That's right. This kind of collusion or extortion or pressure on the social media companies to delete posts or even accounts, or downgrade or shadow ban, play with the algorithm so people won't see information, whether it's regarding COVID, whether it's regarding Hunter Biden's laptop or anything else. Now, the wrinkle here is that the social media companies, Facebook, Google, Twitter, what have you, were willing participants. It's not that they really had to be threatened or put a gun to the head. They were happy to go along with the government's policy. And so is it illegal? Is it unconstitutional? Is it a violation of the First Amendment if they're willingly doing things, regardless of what the government says? This has not been decided before. In the digital world, it's a little bit different when there's kind of this informational collusion. And I think what we saw from the argument on Monday is that the court is wary of painting in broad strokes, but is wondering whether the litigation wasn't even designed the right way, whether the proper parties have standing. I think the government will end up winning, but not, in a clean sweep saying, yes, you can coerce or what have you.
It's just a little concerning, and I know a lot was made, and I made a lot about it, with Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was bringing up this. She was concerned that the First Amendment would hamstring the government, and I just wanted to spit my coffee out at that time, because absolutely everything which is in the Bill of Rights is a hamstring on government, if we still have a Bill of Rights. But yet, she really, to be fair, wasn't the only justice that was kind of thinking along that lines. Do you agree or disagree from what you heard?
Yeah, I mean, her statement wasn't as bad as it's sometimes made out to be on that I've seen in social media, because no rights are absolute, and if the government has a compelling reason to do something that infringes on whether it's your First Amendment right, your Fourth Amendment right, Second Amendment right, whatever it might be, and as long as it acts narrowly and not kind of just in broad sweeping terms, it could prevail under certain narrow circumstances. The problem here is that we really have to be wary of that kind of argument, because as we saw, a lot of the information that was suppressed as being so-called misinformation turned out to be absolutely true. So I really don't want judges deferring to the government in terms of their judgment of which information flows should be allowed and which shouldn't. And again, the government should not be allowed to do indirectly while using or cooperating with private companies that it's not allowed to do directly in terms of censorship.
What concerned me, and I'm not a legal eagle or brain like yourself on such matters, Ilya, but when I heard the term compelling interest repeated ad nauseum almost, the thought that's going through my head is that you will always find a compelling interest for the government to say, gosh, this is just too much of an emergency or too much of a problem. There's a compelling interest for us to censor, to keep the people safe, and yet I would say that we, the people, the reason why we have a Bill of Rights is because, listen, we have a compelling interest to speak freely. And if we cannot speak freely, we're not a free people. We're just subjects of this massive federal government. And whether you are a Democrat or a Republican or anything else, it's chilling to think that we're now being reduced through Supreme Court justices. Well, as long as there's a compelling interest, we can go there. What say you as an attorney here, studying all this? But for me, it left me cold.
The way our system is set up, it's not individual citizens that have to justify their exercise of their rights and freedoms. It's the government that has to justify restrictions on those rights and freedoms. And when you talk about compelling interest, that's what lawyers call that. The standard that the government has to meet when a particular law is subject to, quote unquote, strict scrutiny. And most of the time, when laws are subject to strict scrutiny or government actions, they fail. The citizen typically wins. In emergency situations, the problem is we don't have definitions of emergency. We had a lot of bad law produced out of COVID when there was a big mess. And like we were just saying, the government said 3 years ago, 2 years ago, that there was a compelling interest to suppress certain kind of information. And it turned out to be absolutely wrong and unreasonable, even given what was known at the time.
At the time, yeah.
I would hope that the court is more skeptical of that. Again, I don't think we will have a sweeping ruling that, yes, the government can cooperate, collude with private companies to suppress information. I think it'll be a more technical opinion, maybe even remanded for case-by-case determination. I, I don't know. But this case is the argument did not go as I was expecting. I think there's clearly three justices who are going to rule for the government, three that are going to rule for the challengers, and three sort of in the middle, Roberts, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, that I think want some technical out so they don't have to establish, break new ground that they're not ready to commit to in terms of social media regulation.
Gee, what about that simple part that says Congress shall establish no law? Well, have no law. You know? So, because I guess it also comes down to what? Is it illegal for the government even just to ask, right? You know, I guess they're asking. But anytime the government...
That came up. If the government, your hypothetical that we started this discussion with it's a nice company you have there, wouldn't want anything to happen to it. Clearly, alluding to the mob and extortion and all that. But what if the government just says, we think this information is false and we really wish it weren't getting out there? And just based on that, the social media companies start acting. Is that different than the government threatening them with an antitrust suit if they don't act?
But if the government is acting, isn't there always an implied threat just by the ask?
I would think so, because there are all these tools at the government's disposal, whether it's licensing in certain contexts, whether it's the cop on the beat enforcing certain types of laws. there is, and we have to be careful. I mean, the government is not restricted from stating what its policy is and what its views are. That would be too broad a brush. So that's why the court was grappling with, if it's not explicit coercion, then how do you draw that line where it goes into unacceptable collusion or cooperation or inducement or something like that?
Ilya Shapiro, Director of Constitutional Studies and Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. So I guess we will find out later this year on what is going to be the final decision. So you're thinking it's not going to be an out-and-out win for free speech, right? It's not going to be a total out-and-out win,
I think that's right. So currently the lower court has all the lower court has done is blocked certain government officials from meeting or communicating with tech companies about information policy. So the court is likely to vacate that injunction, but will probably craft some further rules that courts can apply and the government can look at in its further dealings.
Well, certainly, Ilya, you will keep an eye on that. Are you blogging this anywhere at the Manhattan Institute or any other?
I put out a press statement. Yeah, it's on our website. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted out a thread. I'm at iShapiro there. And I might have something on my Substack. I'm at Shapiro's Gavel is my newsletter.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm going to subscribe to that. Shapiro's Gavel. Okay, I love that. You can almost say thank goodness for the Substack place these days when it comes to free speech. Would you agree with that?
It's what blogs were 20 years ago. Yeah, it allows anybody to be their own publisher, draw their own audience, and really be creative in ways that weren't available before.
Is there a possibility that we're going to have to be going back to more of that kind of thing rather than expecting an Instagram or a TikTok to truly defend the free speech of its users?
Well, media and information, the media information environment is constantly changing. Newsrooms of the traditional media are hollowing out. People are getting more and more of their news on social media, but that, of course, links elsewhere. So I do think this, Substack and other, completely independent methods that don't take a lot of resources to generate information are going to become more popular.
I just hope we don't have to go back to dial-up phone modems and BBSs. Remember the bulletin boards back in the day? I don't know if you're old enough to remember that or not, Ilya. But
I didn't. They were. I was a young teenager when those things were around. I was aware of them. I didn't really use them.
Okay. Yeah. Well. So I got a few years on you, but boy. I guess the free speech is always determined by who's the publisher, so to speak, right? Ilya Shapiro, Director of Constitutional Studies, Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Ilya, thank you for the analysis, and we'll have you back. You be well. Take care.
All right. Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
724. You're on KMED, KCMD.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your Linex bedliner source. Linex is the number one rated spray-on bedliner in the world, backed with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Don't just protect it. Linex it. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. Your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The media is giddy because they just hate all things Trump. He's broke. He's not broke. It's just that no billionaire with in their right mind would ever have a half a billion dollars laying around. Now, that then in 30 days presents a dilemma. What, you sell your properties at a fire sale? Well, that would be an unfair penalty if you could even get the sale done in 30 days anyway, which probably would be impossible considering the size and the magnitude of sale we're talking about here. I mean, it's a big building. So they put them in a box in the hopes that, I guess, they're going to take over these properties. This is not the United States of America. This is not justice in America. You want to know what a weaponized justice system is? This is it.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Do you have shady friends? I have lots of them. This is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. As a certified arborist, I consider myself a bit of a tree whisperer. I can tell most of them just need a proper pruning to get them shaped up and going in a positive direction. Some, frankly, are destined for firewood, wood chips, and mulch. Call me and I'll come talk to your trees, then provide a free quote that's guaranteed. Find us at QualityTreeServiceMedford.com or call 541-821-8594.
Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point is a family diner designed to please everyone in the family. Along with 13 burgers, there's 8 fresh sandwiches and 7 different melts, all served with fresh-cut fries. There's Carolina chicken smothered in mushrooms, onions, bacon, cheddar cheese, and honey mustard sauce. There's 7 seafood baskets, hickory smoked ribeyes, chicken fried chicken and steak, and so much more. You're invited to Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point. Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner. Congratulations to Bob R., winner of the metal roof giveaway from Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Here's his story.
Winning was a total shocker. I never win anything. But thanks to the amazing team at Westfall Roofing, Inc., my home now has a stunning new roof. From the brothers to every single employee, their professionalism and efficiency were top-notch. They even went above and beyond by helping with some extra junk removal. Not only does my home look better than ever, but its value has also skyrocketed. Thank you, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
Saving big, I can dig on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley truckloads of money over the years on things you buy and use often. All Beauty Mark salon certificates are half off. Also, save big on Diner 62, Malello's Coffee, and Freddy's Diner. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
728. Let's do another email of the day, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. Dr. Steve Nelson, next to the new Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. In fact, a couple of months from now, I'm going to be getting my replacement tooth, getting an implant to replace a toothy that I broke there a little while ago. They're great people there. And by the way, they take pride in same-day crowns made in office or crafted at their local lab. Got a lab right there. You can be getting things ground down and then get a new crown while you wait. Check it out, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Jeff Sherman writes to me about the 5G argument over in Ashland. Bill, just a thought, wouldn't Ashland have control over the 5G siting, the 5G cell phone siting, such as location, tower height, and maybe make it too onerous to build? Also, from the radiation perspective, everyone's personal cell phone puts the radiation within inches of the user's head. Have a fun day. You know, there is probably limited ability for them to do this, but I'll give you an example. It really probably comes down to, could they regulate a tower height? And yeah, there probably is a little bit of that, but I'll give you some inside baseball as someone who works in the broadcast industry. Most of the time, it would be, all right, what might be your maximum height of a tower, maybe, you know, in some places. 5G is really not dealing with much of a high thing. In fact, the whole aspect of 5G is that it's not very high. It's just like telephone pole type height that we're talking about. The idea is to have lots of little nodes and little transmitters or little transceivers, 5G transceivers plugged into the internet hive mind everywhere around the cities. It's about being close to people, not about getting it up high in the air, which is the way that a lot of the old cell phone designations were, you know, the towers where you wanted it to be up a little high. But no, in this particular case, they want it down low. So I don't know. I mean, can you say, no, it has to be minimum height above the ground? Maybe there is. But generally speaking, the even with the land use laws and things like that, depending on where you're putting it, there is very little local regulatory authority on FCC licensed sort of situations. Like most of my broadcast facilities, the local town has no say on what I'm doing up there on Jacksonville Hill or various other places that I go, you know, Gilbert Peak in Grants Pass and things like that. It's regulated by the federal government. It's licensed by the federal government. Same with 5G, same with the cellular service. It's all coming down through the federal regulatory state. I'm just saying, now there's probably some limited power, but limited power only. And it's not my way of running the railroad, but I'm just telling you that's normally how that works. Let me go to line one. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Who's this? Welcome.
Bill, good morning. It's Ron out in Eagle Point.
Ron, what do you think of an EP, huh?
Well, yeah, my comment is more directed towards something that I think that a lot of people missed the extravagance of this comment from President Biden. And that was several weeks ago after the special investigators look into you remember the comments made were basically they deferred prosecution because of his, let's just call it, mental condition.
Yeah, and the her report, and he would be considered a doddering old fool, essentially.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's all puzzling to me. But my comment is directed to four words that the president said to a reporter who questioned, do you think that's an issue, to President Biden. And I think most people will remember his comment was, quote, President Biden, my memory is so bad, these four words, mm-hmm. I let you speak. And when that happened, I was puzzled to the point where I thought to myself, here is an elected official saying to an American citizen, I let you speak. And I've always been impressed in a negative way by Joe Biden's arrogance and volatile, flammable temperament. I mean, you remember the take Trump out behind the bleachers comment where he would beat the hell out of him out behind the bleachers.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, essentially, I look at President Biden as, frankly, the reason why ropes were invented, okay? You know?
I was going to go a little farther, but I'll leave it alone.
Yeah, but you know what I'm getting at there? The arrogance, the hubris, and almost the what are you going to do to me kind of thing. And frankly, the Washington Generals are playing this, you know, the Washington Generals, otherwise known as the Republican Party, they're playing a losing game right now. This should have been happening a year ago. If this had happened a year ago, it would actually have an impact. Right now, you know, it's just going to go away to die. You do understand that, right?
Yeah, and this is part of the overall strategy for campaign strategy, I guess I would say. So I don't know. But my point was the significance of that statement that he made and how it seems to me that a lot of Americans, because they don't see that brought up, but a lot of Americans seem to have missed the hubris, the arrogance, and the volatile nature of his persona. He is like unhinged sometimes. Now, he gets himself into trouble because he'll walk away from the podium, and it's that same nature. Turns him around, he comes back to the podium and steps in it.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that time the other day in which he went out in the crowd and kissed a baby?
Yeah, I did.
It's just like that old Looney Tunes Bugs Bunny cartoon, Ballot Box Bunny, right? with Bugs Bunny taking on Yosemite Sam. And I love babies. Love me, baby. Give me babies. Yeah, give exactly. me babies to kiss. It was weird.
Yeah, it's all weird, and these are strange times we're living in, but that was the comment I wanted to make.
I appreciate you making it, too. Let me go to line three. Hello, KMD, KCMD. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Bill, this is Larry up in Ashland.
Larry.
How are you?
Doing fine. What are you thinking?
Well, you know, your comments on 5G sparked my my interest. You know, I spoke at the council meeting here in Ashland Tuesday night, along with many other people who were upset about this ordinance.
Now, you're a ham radio operator, aren't you, Larry, if I recall?
Correct. I have an old expired license, but yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
However, that doesn't keep me from operating as a ham.
Okay. No, that's all right. No, it's all right. Yeah. I was just curious about that. Okay.
Yeah. So, licenses are interesting. The point I wanted to make, though, was that, you know, the FCC claims preemption over states, counties, localities, et cetera, regarding its regulations. And with regulatory capture and the fact that the FCC safety portions of their telecommunications regulations, they're old. They're from the 90s. And, you know,
so you agree with me that it's really mostly about, does tissue get hot around these emissions?
Ionizing,
right?
Versus non-ionizing radiation, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go out and get a sunburn, and the sunlight and ultraviolet light from the sun, that is ionizing radiation. But the point that really upsets me about this is that the FCC says, hey, we preempt all local regulations and states, et cetera. But what if their standards are unsafe? And the problem is that the city councils and the counties and whatever, they look at this and they go, well, we can't do anything because the feds claim jurisdiction over all of this regulatory area. And with regulatory capture, the major telecoms, you can't prove to me that they're not bought off. It's really a problem. And I believe that the states, the regions, the localities, that we need to go after the FCC in court. And I'll pay money for that. I will donate money for the city of Ashland to file a lawsuit against the FCC's old, you know, regulations and the fact that they claim, and the city is going along with it, that the city can't say anything about the safety standards.
That's right, because and they can't. You know, if you look at the way the rules are set up here, and the claim of dominance or preemption on such matters, and you're absolutely right. But you're also right that there is only one way to fight it, and that's lawfare. And most cities are not going to engage in that.
That's right. And, I mean, I'm willing to donate money towards that effort, but I'm not willing to donate my money here in Ashland in 10 years to pay claims that the city will be facing potentially. And I don't know. I don't know if this is, you know, there's a growing body of evidence that 5G radiation, especially if you bathe in it 24/7, could have some detrimental health effects on you, okay? And many people are vehemently convinced that it is very dangerous. I'd like to see more study. All the studies that I've read, the white papers, the scientific studies about this, they all come from Europe.
Yeah, Europe seems to be a little more interested in such things, perhaps a little less regulatory capture. One thing, Larry, I wonder if maybe the way to go about this, and by the way, I use cell phones. I admit this. I'm using telecommunications all the time. I get that. All right. So I just want people to understand my point of view. But I'm also open to the concerns that other people have, and I have concerns about this too. All right.
Yes. Yes.
What if?
I'm not a Luddite either.
Yeah.
I love technology.
Yeah.
I mean,
what if a local community would form? And they would kind of do their minimal version, their minimal kind of, or like a version of the quiet zone, like what they have back east in the area by the radio telescopes, where no radio cell phones are allowed, no broadcast facilities, this and that and the other, but kind of create it voluntarily within their own community. What do you think about that?
I love the idea. I mean, you know, people getting together and regulating themselves where they feel the need to do that, that's the best way to go. And I don't think a government telling you what to do is the right way to go at all. But
if you have private land, you have private land, and you agree as part of the CCNRs, though, that that no telecommunications facilities are to be installed here to live here.
Yeah. And I believe that we should take that kind of stances wherever we can, and the city should take that stance, and let the FCC come after them. And honestly, we need to bring this into the lawfare realm.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, as someone who is regulated by the FCC is a fearsome master with unlimited resources to go after you if they wish to. That's all I'm warning.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand. And
all
I
right.
think there's something wrong with that.
Okay. Agreed. Thank you for the call there, Larry. Larry from Ashland. It's 740. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning.
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Hi, Bill. It's Francine.
Hi, Francine. Go ahead. Quickly.
Yeah. I really like the gentleman from the veterans group. And I liked most of what he had to say. I'm not crazy about Trump, but he's kind of all we have. I wanted to make a point about the military. You know, that they're all going. You know, they're turning the military basically gay. But and people think, oh, they're not going to be able to defend us, you know, against a force coming, you know, attacking America. But that's I don't think that's the plan at all. I think the plan is getting our military built up with people that won't hesitate to turn on regular good Americans, patriotic Americans.
Actually, I would agree with that. You fill it with a bunch of Marxist, Leninist types in there that have no problem shooting the kulaks. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. You may be right about that. I hope you're wrong, but thank you.
I hope so, too. But, you know, it's a big thing getting the military to do what they want.
All right. We're going to hold off on the open phones. Thank you, Francine. We'll hold off on open phones here for the next few minutes. We'll have some more after 8 o'clock, if it's okay. And we're going to be talking with Bill Hunker and Jim Rafferty here in a couple of minutes and dig into what's happening in Josephine County with a couple of those measures and getting you more informed. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Attention, Oregon homeowners and renters. Is your property wildfire ready? The Oregon State Fire Marshal's Defensible Space Program is here to help you find out. Did you know you can help protect your home from wildfires by creating defensible space? They offer free assessments to all Oregonians at your home to provide valuable tips and ideas to protect your property. Sign up for a free assessment and get tips to protect your property before fire season. For a limited time, people in select areas of the state are eligible to receive $250 to kickstart their spring defensible space projects after they get a free assessment. Don't miss the chance to make your home fire smart and pocket some extra green to help with your projects. Visit OregonDefensibleSpace.org, OregonDefensibleSpace.org. That's OregonDefensibleSpace.org for more information and to schedule your free assessment today. Don't wait. Let's make Oregon safer together.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millette Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
Good morning. I'm Marcus Veal with your MBC5 Morning News Update. If you're getting ready to travel for spring break, expect some company. According to AAA, the top destination in the Beaver State is Bend. Some of the other top regional destinations for spring break include Portland, Seattle, Eugene, and Redding. The agency says they're also seeing a 28% increase in cruise bookings compared to this time last year. Oregonians are getting out of town, and some are even getting out of the country. Unfortunately, though, Marie Dodds of AAA also says Oregon is seeing March Madness for gas prices. The current average for a regular gallon of gas is $4.12, up almost 20 cents from just a week ago. Dodd says 2024 is shaping up to be the busiest year of travel yet. She recommends giving yourself extra time and patience to get to your destination. Medford's Rogue X is proving to be a massive hit with the public. According to the City of Medford Parks and Recreation Director Rich Rosenthal, more than 17,000 people came to Open Swim in January and February alone. It has a 6,000-square-foot recreational pool and a 13-lane, 25-yard by 33-meter competitive pool, the largest in the region. The city's website says it also has over 75,000 square feet of versatile event spaces, which can accommodate 8 basketball courts, 16 volleyball courts, and more. For local news anytime, you can head to our website or to our Facebook page. And for MC5 News, I'm Marcus Veal.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Now through April, purchase one of three styles of General G-Max High or Ultra High performance tires for your modern muscle car, sports car, or sporty coupe or sedan and get a Visa reward card in the mail. Or purchase four Ultimax tires for your passenger car or crossover and get $60 Visa reward card. The Ultimax is an all-season touring tire built for long-lasting, year-round use. Save on general tires for any of your cars you drive at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Who'll Stop the Rain is a classic 1970 hit from Creedence Clearwater that reached number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Pop Singles chart. While Millett Construction doesn't know the answer to John Fogerty's question, they do know how to fix your home's foundation if moisture is making it unstable. So don't worry about clouds of mystery pouring confusion on the ground. Millett will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletConstruction.com for a free consultation.
When you hire a contractor, the last worry you should have is, are they capable enough to handle the job? A well drilling contractor is no different, especially with tough drilling conditions Southern Oregon can encompass. Clouser Drilling invests in capable machinery, tooling, and personnel equipped to handle these conditions. They operate 4 modern rotary drill rigs with capabilities from air rotary, mud rotary, and drill and drive casing advancement systems. Combine this with over 50 years and thousands of wells drilled, and worry no more. Contact Clouser Drilling or visit Clouser Drilling.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
746. Joining me, we have Jim Rafferty. Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
Hello, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. And we have Bill Hunker, both Josephine County residents. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great.
All right. Now, you're not representing any particular groups or whatever. You just wanted to come in and talk about a couple of these ballot measures that people are going to be facing in Josephine County.
As you might remember, I'm a director of RFRA Constitutional Government, W4ACG.com.
Okay, well, good. You're the director of that. No, I knew that, but I didn't know if you were actually representing that group or not. Are you in this particular realm? All right. And this has to do, why don't we go with the 17-116 charter replacement first, Jim, okay? And I don't know. I feel like I have just been banging the gong ceaselessly, you know, on this, because I look at these charter changes both in Jackson and Josephine County, massive attacks on the county. I mean, is there anything you can add on it that I haven't? I just want to vomit it out sometimes because I think this stuff is so bad for county government. Or do you want this change? Do you want this change at 17-116?
No, we're for constitutional government opposes this for a number of reasons. The first reason might be all the amendments that they're going to remove. And the amendments, you know, were designed to guarantee the rights of the citizens of Josephine County.
Okay. You know, I would tend to look at the most dangerous part of 17-116 is the districts. I think the districts of these splitting up the divide and conquer, and you know that these are Democrats for the most part, not all, but largely Democrats that are wanting Josephine County split up in districts, right? You would agree with me on that, I hope, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. Know. Yeah, if you look at the district map, particularly the one that they have in the voters pamphlet that explodes the districts, every district, all 4 districts, are part of Grants Pass, the city of Grants Pass. And that's the largest voting block that we have in Josephine County. So it's conceivable that we could have all 4 commissioners elected by district be part of the city, and then the at-large commissioner could be also from the city.
Bill, did you want to add in on something like that, too? It sounded like you wanted to weigh in, Bill.
Well, I tend to agree with you that this is going on and on. I think the thing I feel is, if we've got our A team of 3, what are we doing asking for 5? When you have that many more people, there will be times I can see that there will be no one running in a particular district, and they'll have to fill it or push it. And I don't know how we're going to get a 5 A team out there. So I and I strongly, Bill, as you may or may not know, disagree with city residents being county commissioners. I pushed that last year, and I don't believe in that. I think that we can show evidence that the city has plenty of people who look after its needs, and we need people who are residents of the county that really understand it, that can look after the county's needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see nothing wrong with Josephine County government that adding two more is going to happen. And if you think you have trouble getting response from a commissioner right now, or you don't like your commissioner, you go into districts. You better hope that your particular district commissioner, because they would no longer be county commissioners, they would be district commissioners, and they wouldn't give a rip.
Right.
They wouldn't give a rip about you if you're outside of the district, right? Hey, you go talk to your guy.
But also the county manager. You know, you have the two additional commissioners, and they want to add a county manager.
And the question is, can they even lower the salaries legal? I mean, I tell you, the Democrats are going for the whole ball of wax with 17-116. This is their number one goal. And I would say, gentlemen, look at, you know, you have to consider the source. What is the source of this? We have this carpetbagger from Georgia that has taken over the Josephine County Democrat Party, and this is their number one goal, getting 17-116 passed. Do you think it's because they're hoping that that we're going to have a nice, peaceful, strong government here? I don't think so.
No. And the other thing is they're getting backing. They Orstar says that they've got about $16,000 right now
in the bank.
And they're just, yeah, and so they really are gearing up to do a big campaign after the afterwards, for whatever they need. But they're pushing right now for the next 2 months.
Is there going to be an argument against then that either of you are putting in the voter's pamphlet? I'm writing up one. I'm going to get one in the next day or two.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, the Work for Constitutional Government is putting in two against the levy,
mm-hmm.
or not the levy, but I guess the levy as well as the charter.
Now, why don't we talk about that? The levy is the other one. Is that what you're speaking of, 17-117, right, Bill?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us what is going on with this. This is about the animal shelter. Now, animal shelter, of course, has a lot of warm feelings, I think, among many people in the community. But what are they asking for?
The problem I see here, Bill, is that they're doing an extraordinary ask. They were 11 cents, and they're going to 47 cents. And where in 2021, their ask was 27% increase. But they're asked 2 years later, when they find out their five-year levy isn't working, they're asking for a 427% increase.
Wow. So four times what they're getting right now is what they're asking
four
for.
Times. Hmm. Yep.
And right now they're getting...
Okay. One at a time. Bill, finish that thought, then I'll let Jim take a bite of that, okay?
Okay. Yeah, if you have an extraordinary ask, you have to do an extraordinary sell. And really explain to the people and be transparent. And that's the biggest issue I see with it. They're actually using the animals as fundraising pawns, and they threw this together very quickly. And what we don't have is hardly any transparency on what's going on there. And the other thing that's wrong with the whole animal shelter, it should have been rated and put together as a prorated growth levy. And people are not acquainted with that, but you can structure it any way you want. And that is, you grow each year in your ask as your system grows. And they're asking the very first year, this next year, they're asking for enough money that they've got no place to put it. Or if they could hire all the people, they don't have any place to put the people. So we don't have timelines. We don't have details or plans or square footages or illustrations or comps or anything.
But just give us the money and then we'll talk, right?
That's exactly it. And, you know, if they took this, they're asking for $24 million. And if they took that plan to a bank,
wow,
they would be they'd walk out with no money.
Oh, okay. Now,
for that.
I'm going to ask a dumb question. Jim, maybe you can ask this, but what animal problem are we experiencing in Joe County that we need $24 million to fix? It sounds like a huge amount of money. Where am I? And maybe I'm just not looking at this through a government mathematic eyes, but what do you think?
Well, it's, you know, it's emotional, you know. And speaking of the money, you know, the current levy at 11 cents, they're still going to receive over $3 million between now and June of 27. You know, $3 million.
What's driving the overload in the system? Can anybody, you know, address that, either Jim or Bill? Because now I understand there's a lot of inflation. We're all having to deal with inflation. Law enforcement's trying to deal with inflation. Everyone's trying to deal with this. I get that, but boy, four times the money.
$10 million of this is just new construction, and yet there's almost no detail on what that really entails. They'll tell you they have 35 animal runs, places for animal cages, and yet there's never a word about, well, we need this many and we need them right now. They have done a thing that's odd to me, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but they are saying that in this county that they're having a 6% growth in their animal shelter program every year. Well, our whole county grows at 1% every year for 25 years. They've same 1%. And so at some point, I don't know how all of a sudden this turned up, but they're claiming all these animals are coming, and so they need people and they need space. But if we gave them all the space and all the money tomorrow, they've got no place to do it. They're going to have to do a lot of remodeling and a lot of building. And so they ask, should have actually been put together so that it was prorated and say, okay, in 5 years from now, I can see where you'll be up here with more animals and you'll need more people. But if you jump in 1 year to major money, with that same money, they could hire 23 people. Where are they going to put 23 people? Where are they going to put all these animals? I don't see how any of it has been planned. It's a lack of planning. It's what it's really gotten is we've got a kind of a shoddy back of an envelope levy. They put it together at the last minute, which they tend to do with levies because they can claim that the time's a wasting and we got to get behind deadlines.
So give us more than four times as much money or the dog gets shot in the head. You know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yep. And, you know, I love animals. I'm not against animals in any way.
No, I don't think any of us are.
They're not fundraising pawns, and they're depending on that. And another thing, Bill, that the public doesn't know, they had a very generous donor give them $200,000 in this last, about a year. And it's sitting in a fund controlled by the commissioners, and they should have used part of that to really do a super transparency presentation so that they could justify asking for $24 million. And none of that's happened, and so they're throwing it on the ballot. And as far as I'm concerned, the commissioners, when they put their name on it, have agreed that they have filtered this for the public. And I don't see that happening. I don't see any real transparency where they've filtered this.
And so for that reason, you're suggesting that people don't vote for this or vote it down.
You got to send them back to the drawing board. You got to remember the 11-cent levy is still 3 years to go. They have a legal obligation to the public to run that for 11 cents. Now, talk about lack of planning on this. Go back 2 years. Didn't they understand we're going to run out of money and have a real problem and you have to come back to the public? They've got the bulk of their time left on 11 cents. Well, take a little bit of that time and really sit down and structure this and do an ask. Mm-hmm. That's transparent for the voters so they really know what they're getting and when they're having to give it to them.
Let me just pose a question. I don't know if either of you, Jim Rafferty or Bill Hunker, could answer this. Is there any case to be made that maybe the druggy, homeless, cartel situation may be driving some of the animal problems, or is there something else that might be going on that I'm not aware of? Well, I mean, why would you have 6% growth in your animals coming in when the county's only growing one?
What we hear is that the COVID did it. That people were at home, they wanted a pet, or got another pet, or somehow that COVID influenced the amount of animals that are actually in the county.
That may have been in 2020, 2021, but you know, come on, we're past that now. Okay,
that's right. And maybe right after that, they all decided to get rid of the animals when they, you know, went back to work or something. But it's not going to, you don't project a 6% growth when the county is 1% for years and years and years and years and years.
All right.
It may be more than 1% because of inflation and things like that. But people understand that if you tell them.
Bill, I appreciate the take on that. Bill Hunker and Jim Rafferty. Jim Rafferty, thank you very much both for giving us your take. Kind of a radio argument against in the voters' pamphlet, okay?
Yes. Well, thank you very much for having us.
All right. You're welcome, Jim.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. See you later, Bill. It's 8 o'clock, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass, Translator K294AS, Ashland.